I might get Oscar Weekly.
Is MMO Weekly.
Sound once again. I know it's not a Monday, but you're still here in the intro. This is MMO Weekly. Welcome back, my friends. A show that comes to you once a week. Hashtag Mike, Mike, and Oscar Weekly. Hashtag MMO Weekly. Hashtag MMOW. It is MMO Weekly. We're not here on a Monday, Mike. We're here a couple days later. I'm your co-host, Mike One. This is also Mike.
Also, Mike, real life came into play, but we are going to comment on the Super Bowl, an Oscar race update, all your favorite segments today in an MMOW, the Hump Day edition.
The Hump Day Hump Day, which was honestly a better commercial than we saw during the Super Bowl. But yeah, as a country, as a nation, we were forced to sit through a game Sunday night that was just...
Yeah, it wasn't great, but bad. The wings were good. The pasta and meatballs were good. The ribs were good. What else did we have? We had egg rolls. We had focaccia bread. My brother spent 2 days making focaccia bread. It was something just epic. So
you had a large spread, huh?
That's the most important thing.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. I had a family member fall ill with the flu.
Yes.
So we had to deal with that. I came home with the wings and nachos, and then I walked into the door to someone like throwing up and going to bed. I'm like, okay, Super Bowl. Followed up immediately with that 3-hour slog of a game.
Who's hungry?
Basically. Oh, no. So that was my Super Bowl Sunday. Any thoughts on the game other than wanting to like probably hang yourself at some point?
You know,
You're a coach, though, so
I'm
you could probably appreciate it.
I'm a
defensive
coach, too, so I kind of liked it.
So Stephon Gilmore gave you something to be happy and proud of. And...
neither defense was afraid of the receiving corps of the other team. They all bloated the box, played man coverage for the vast majority of that game, checkmated the other team, essentially, and it was a defensive struggle. So that's exactly what happened. You've heard it here first. Oscar pundits. Talking ball, giving you the lowdown. But that is what happened. The halftime show, Mike.
Didn't even watch it.
We had Gaga jumping off the roof a few years ago. We had Prince playing that purple tiger tail
of
a guitar.
That's the halftime show standard. And that show was incredible.
The finale for this show was Adam Levine taking his shirt off.
This might have been the series finale for the TV show that is the NFL, because everything was just such a sour note. Adam Levine, who wants to see Adam Levine's tour? Where's the gaggle of people out there that are like, you know what this game needs? Adam Levine's chest.
Like who is coming up with the finale to the whole thing? Is it like just a group of writers in the room and they're just like, all right, we can do this, we can do that. And Adam Levine's just in the corner flexing and he's just like, give me the finale.
I don't understand where he even comes into play. Big Boy, I understand. Travis Scott, I understand. Those are both Atlanta acts. They come from Atlanta. They're hip-hop acts that originated in the ATL, so that makes sense.
If there was a montage of Adam Levine working out with all those new tats online, shirted.
Like, there's got to be a tattoo artist somewhere in Pasadena I'm taking my own thing. There's got to be a tattoo artist somewhere in Pasadena that just giggles to himself every time Maroon 5 comes in their door. Like, yeah, I'll put another eagle on your chest.
He had the eagle, he had the California across his stomach. It was strange, but yeah,
I didn't even watch it. I watched the WWE's Halftime Heat, and it was a great 6-man tag match, and I'm happy I did.
Oh, it's un-American of you, but that's
fine. I would argue it's the most American.
The most American? Maybe, perhaps. D's Nuts, Craig Robinson did a commercial with impeccable timing. Deets Nuts is actually a brand of nuts you can buy.
Yeah, get to what you really want to talk about.
The Game of Thrones dragon killing the Bud Knight. A beautiful
that
day
was
for
really
a joust.
Cool. That was really cool.
Look, I got my lucky loincloth on. I don't have the plague anymore. He's, you know, the king is funny. And then the lackey screams exactly like somebody screamed during the fight between the mountain and I won't say who else.
Yes.
Not to spoil it for you, but oh my God, you got the Game of Thrones dragon. It's in the Bud Light commercial.
I wonder if that ad campaign was thought of with that tie-in to end it, because that's supposed to be like the end of that the whole medieval Bud Knight campaign, which started at last year's Super Bowl.
Oh, he's dead.
So yeah, I wonder if this finale was thought of as the campaign like went in, but it was a perfect tie-in, and it was by far the most creative commercial on the night.
He couldn't have been successful though.
What do you mean,
the Bud Knight?
Like, no, he's gone.
Right. No, yeah. But I'm saying the ad campaign could not have been successful for them to kill him.
Yeah, is anything?
Mercilessly. But then the guy addicted to bacon, mac, and cheese.
God, that got a lot of heat online, that commercial. A lot of flashbacks about the food porn being taken too literal.
Really?
In that one, yeah.
Now,
yeah,
he's,
a lot of people mad online about
microwave
that.
Dinners, he's addicted to them. He would be 700 pounds. If that's all, if all Listen, he ate was the bacon, mac, and cheese.
I am 700 pounds, and I cannot bring myself to eat frozen dinners anymore, TV dinners.
Yeah, that's so gross. They just like, you would not be able to poop.
No, you'd just be sodium. You'd like be a walking thing
macaroni.
Of sodium. Yeah, it'd be disgusting. But yeah, the whole experience of the Super Bowl this year for me was just a downer. And that's not just because I went over on every single prop bet and it ended in the 13-3 game.
If somebody was puking in the corner of your watch room, that might have soured
start.
You a little
and
bit.
And I think it got me sick in the process. So, yeah, no. I got bad memory. I'm a Giants fan on top of it. Had to watch this jackass Brady hoist another Super Bowl trophy.
Right.
Yeah. Not in a good mood. So, but that's what we did watch at least Sunday night. We'll get into more stuff, but how about some movie-centric stuff with the game itself?
Yeah.
Talk about some cool trailers that did drop, or at least some trailers that did drop, because we talked about this in pre-production. You're a little higher on these than I think I am at first blush.
Yeah. We got some trailer thoughts here.
All right, we're going to go through all the movie trailers that we saw in commercial form during the big game this past Sunday. And the first one, obviously, that everyone's going to be talking about and has been talking about for a little bit. Avengers Endgame came out with another one. Kind of a cool looking, like, retrospective to catch everyone up to where we are.
It's interesting. I keep hearing, or I read online, and I keep hearing from YouTube people that this is only the first 15 minutes of the movie thus far that's been marketing the long form trailer and then this TV spot. I thought it was fairly well focused. You know, we have essentially the Avengers that are in this movie gearing up for battle and gearing up for war. Cap tightening the shield, ready to fight. The slow walking to the battle or wherever they're going, to the super jet or whatever, the Black Panther jet, whatever they're going on. I mean, in the previous trailer, we had Tony Stark in a sticky situation. Here we see him working with Nebula. They're working on some gadgets.
So I thought it was important to see him, yeah.
That's a callback to like the first Iron Man movie.
Right.
I don't know where it fits in the plot. Again, I'm thinking it's very, very early on.
No antagonist.
We basically just were focused on the heroes. Scarlett Johansson is in the shooting range.
Have we seen Thanos at all, or just his armor?
We've just seen his armor, and I think we saw his hand, but in the last trailer, just like
so that's curious to me, right? That's my biggest takeaway, is that we don't really have any kind of enemy here that we're focusing on, unless we're getting the big misdirect, the Janet Leigh from Psycho playbook.
He's got to be the big boss.
I would think so too,
it, right?
Yeah.
It's just got to be. Anyway, we have the Hawkeye with a crazy hairdo, and Grace Randolph at Beyond the Trailer on YouTube, she made a great point about the moosing of that hair. It had to have taken, you know, like, we've heard of, like, Gary Oldman going into makeup for, you know, 6 hours before a shoot. The moosing of that hair.
Jeremy Renner's statement now, finally, is like, this is going to be the Hawkeye movie.
That took a long time.
This is the movie Hawkeye gets remembered for.
So, I mean, yeah, you got some interesting things. I'm dying for more. I will, again, you mentioned it before. If Tony just is on the toilet bowl, just shitting his brains out, where we'll see that movie.
Yes,
it says Avengers.
And there was some other cool,
Marvel Presents
cool spoiler stuff. I don't know if it's spoiler stuff or not, but there's some screenshots online. Robbie Fox from Barstool Sports had this on Twitter. He said he took a screenshot of it, and it looks like there was like four Avengers standing in the field, but two of them were precariously spaced enough where it looked like a fifth one might have been CGI'd out. And there's a theory that might be Captain Marvel, so we avoid seeing the first interaction between her and the Avengers.
Captain Marvel might be another Avenger. That
could be. Yeah, so there's tricks going out there. And you saw all the people that may have faded into memory or dust, depending on how you look at it.
It is hard to talk about this without spoilers, but we're doing our very best. You're right.
There was a juxtaposition between black and white and in color, which was cool. So
it's kind of cool. I mean, it's definitely, you know, the power's out. Like, everywhere is the power's out.
Yes, yeah. Bad
it's
lighting.
Mayhem.
Bad
very
lighting,
interesting. It's an apocalyptic look at the Marvel Cinematic
Thanos
universe.
Snapped his fingers and the electric company all disappeared.
That's true. We had Cobbs and Shaw, Michael. This is the next installment in the Fast and Furious franchise by way of spinning off.
Is this going to make money?
I think so.
Right? I think so, too. But is there really a lot of people out there that are like, I need to see the Jason Statham Rocky crossover movie?
Now, this trailer had some great jokes to it, though, no?
Yeah.
I mean, we have The Rock and Jason Statham, you know, basically having to meet each other with that weird white guy voiceover narration, the super suit, the FBI guy just saying, we got to have these two guys together.
Right. Of course, it has to be these two. Yeah.
And of course, it has to be these two. And then they're like, this guy's an a-hole in the trailer. And then, of course, that I love the scene where just in ridiculous Fast and Furious fashion, we have them, of course, having to jump down a skyscraper.
Naturally.
And The Rock is like, on three, we're going to jump or whatever. And he goes down the ripcords, you know, chasing after Idris Elba, the bad guy. And, of course, Jason Statham just gets in the elevator after that, like the window washer elevator. And he's going down, and The Rock is just like diving on people and spinning and killing one guy and then killing the next guy in full flight.
Of course. Well, as Rocky does.
Grabs one guy, swings over to Jason Statham in the elevator. Jason Statham is just sitting there, like, giving him the high side on The Rock, mouths F you. And that's really funny. I mean, for a silly trailer. And then, of course, they're both getting tortured, and we have the gallows humor where they're like, that would be a cool thing to say.
What these two guys do very well is, like, you first think of Statham and The Rock, and you're like, okay, they're action movie stars, but they're also both incredibly funny, and they've proven that. Well, Jason Statham, he's hilarious in the Transporter movies, or what's the one where his heart rate can't slow down?
Crank.
I thought it was great in Crank, and not to mention, obviously, Spy with Melissa McCarthy. Definitely. He's got his comedic chops. Rocky was funny in everything.
He was hysterical in Spy. So I think it's going to work. If the trailer's any indication, it's going to be a bunch of dumb fun. We also got the glimpses of all the car chases, like the different vehicles that they're using to smash things.
Are we at the point with the Fast and Furious franchise where they could just do no wrong? Are they like the more ridiculous MCU?
They're so ridiculous.
Right?
Ridiculous that neither of us saw the last movie, correct?
I've never seen any Fast and Furious. I've seen Tokyo Drift, I think, like way back when it was in theaters. So I really picked the creme de la creme.
So we're not going to have to do a whole series.
Oh, we're doing a rewatch, baby. But yeah. I just wonder if this series has become so beloved, it's like become immune to failure anyway.
It might be in our wheelhouse to do a rewatch.
I'm sure it is. It's just everyone that sees it is like, it's just the ultimate like, rah!
We're great at awesomely bad movies. I know we do Oscar movies year round, but we did the Halloween films. And if you're coming to us just now, we love doing the MCU. And if there's an awesomely bad movie in there, that's our longest episode. Like Halloween 3, Season of the Witch was an hour and like 40 minute recording somehow. And we were like, oh my God, we have bit off more than we can chew for this whole series. And we still did it one at a time. We pushed through and it was like some of the most fun we've ever had. So you might be right. You might be onto something. Fast and Furious could be a crazy MMO
Fate
rewatch.
Of the Furious made $1.2 billion worldwide.
Dear God.
I think The Rock might be Scrooge McDuck. Mm-hmm. He might just roll over in a whole room he's got dedicated to money from that he's made different franchises. So, yeah. I thought of the trailers we saw on Super Bowl Sunday, this one was the one was the highest quality for me. I want to see that now.
I think I agree with you. However, I also was pleased with the new Captain Marvel spot.
I really wasn't, so I want you to sell me. But, yeah, go ahead.
Higher, further, faster. They went with like a simple theme, a theme that calls back to her personality as just Top Gun renegade fighter pilot Carol Danvers. So I think that's smart because we needed Captain Marvel.
They should have just done the full Monty and played Danger Zone in the background.
We needed a persona, and for her to have a best buddy, for her to be high five in Top Gun style, for her to be chanting
like
this
your
thing.
Moves, and like your style.
And then the whole trailer is just like higher, further, faster, and it's just really cool because it goes into all her superhero stuff, and then when it's higher, further, faster, then she just fucking punches a plane. As Captain Marvel, and I'm like,
so that gave you more like juice than
it was so cool.
Fast and Furious movie. Look, I'm getting to the point of frustration with Captain Marvel because I feel like they use the one shot of her with the helmet on with her eyes glowing in every single trailer so far.
Yeah, if it makes every fanboy erect, they're gonna keep doing
What's the story of the movie?
I don't
exactly.
care.
Exactly. Like, we don't know what the fuck it is. We've had a billion trailers, and we have no idea. We know Jude Law makes a speech, and she at one point flies a jet. Right. And punches an old lady.
And I'm not getting aroused for sexual reasons. It's just purely nerdgasm.
It's just blood.
Yeah.
Your just blood so is just happy. Pumping and needs just, to go
yes.
somewhere.
So, that's
you got to understand, dear listener, it's purely physiological at this point. I am not horny, you see.
No, of course not.
I really wasn't a fan of this one, but I guess it really doesn't matter. I'm on record. This is the most important MCU movie up until Endgame does come out. And they've got a lot to do with this movie. I have full faith in them, and I love Brie Larson as the cast of Captain Marvel, the Carol Danvers character. I'm very hopeful. I just haven't seen anything to really judge since the first trailer came out.
Yeah, we got on them for a couple trailers ago, what they were doing, and right. We didn't like them. I will say Us did a nice job, the new Jordan Peele horror film. That was a fun trailer. I wish they kept going with the I've Got Five on It theme music. This still really works. These trailers are superior to the Get Out trailers. I don't know if that's a good omen or a bad omen. Like, because Get Out had the most ridiculous trailers. It was the most, like, nails on a chalkboard. And these are just, like, so well put together. They're putting it out on the Super Bowl, so they're putting big money behind it. I'm a little worried just by, you know, the whole reverse jinx of it all. But I think they got a nice composition there. And then Toy Story 4, Mike, we're at the carnival. Buzz Lightyear is hung up as a carnival
prize.
That can't
be the story. That can't be part of the movie. And that makes no sense. A used toy that's 15 years old can now be won at a carnival?
It is a shady-ass carnival. The carnies have no standards. But, Mike, you have the Key and Peele, Ducky
yes.
and Chick, the yeah. chicken and the yeah. duck, and you have, you know, Jordan Peele's character.
I thought one of them was a bear, no? Are they not?
I
don't
know.
Yeah, they're stuffed
idea.
Animals.
They're
yeah.
stuffed animals. They're very cute, and they're talking shite at Buzz Lightyear, kicking him in the face. And I thought that was funny.
Toy Story 4 is another one. It's like Avengers Endgame. It can be whatever it wants, and people are going to go see it, us included. So I'm excited for that.
Absolutely.
I would also like to see it take a step, become a Best Picture contender. It's about time some animated film broke through that glass ceiling.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to
yeah.
get better than Toy Story 3, no?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Toy Story 3 was supposed to be impossibly better than Toy Story 2, right?
Yeah.
And they keep doing it. They keep waiting 10 years before sequels. They'll get there eventually.
You never know. You
Toy
never
Story
know.
7 will be like in our 50s waiting.
So now do you have the drop for what we're watching? Or do I have to
no,
sing
let's
it
No, let's just if you could sing it again, that'd be great.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
What we're watching!
You put a little more spice in that one, see? We keep doing that. It'll just get better and better. Let's talk about what we're watching now for...
Am I going to have to sing it every time now?
Maybe put like different background beats in there and stuff. Yeah. What have you been watching this week, Mike? You're watching Crashing. I haven't had a chance to yet.
I am thrilled.
I love that
with
video.
That series. I was chipping away at it for a long while, and then there's only 8 episodes. They're half an hour each for each season.
Yeah.
And I kind of had like 2 nights there where I just caught up, and it's funny.
It's an easy binge.
It's substantive. It's an easy binge. I've always liked Pete Holmes back from the days where he was coming on after Conan O'Brien, that is. And yeah, I'm in. I love the show. It's a couple episodes into the new season. He's got a new boo, and it's fun to watch.
Jamie Lee, I wasn't familiar with until she was on the show last year, and I'm absolutely in love with her. She's a great talent. Pete Holmes, I'm a big fan of his. Lauren Lapkus played his ex-wife. I don't know
yes.
if she's back this year,
she's
but she's
funny.
Hysterical as
she's
well.
She's always funny.
HBO does a great job. That show's by Judd Apatow, though, so of course, anybody that's funny, he's going to have the first dibs on and put them in their position to succeed. I can't wait. I loved season 1 and 2. Anything with Artie Lang in it, I will watch. I love Artie Lang.
He's the man.
I still
the man.
He came to my hometown not too long ago, like weeks ago. I don't know what he
really?
He must have gotten lost. But yeah, nobody ever comes here.
He may have come out here for nefarious reasons, knowing Artie. Speaking of Conan Beyond Borders, this just hit Netflix. I know he's been doing this on his late night show. He just like will go to Mexico and record for a week, and he does like basically a Bourdain travel special, you know, in that vein. And now he's got like all these complete episodes, like hour-long episodes. It's on Netflix. There's one of Japan on VOD now on your regular cable too, which I watched. So that was like 7 or 8 episodes. It was so much fun. I actually got back into TV this week. I can't believe it.
He came out not too long ago himself and TBS, and they said they were going to change up the late night talk show format that he had done since he was on the Late Late Show or the Late Night Show with Conan O'Brien back in the 90s. And this is one of his first first four race. He's going to do this. He's going to do, like, the Clueless Gamer special, which I guess got big ratings for him.
He's been doing great on YouTube.
Right.
All of his stuff with Jordan Schlansky has, like, really
The Jordan Schlansky bits are killer.
They kill me. And that's, like, that's a YouTube binge that happens to me every time. I see it on my YouTube always.
The suggested
I'm
watches.
Like, don't watch it because you'll watch, like, 10 videos in a row.
They're very addictive.
So the Beyond Borders, it's funny. It's great. You learn something about other cultures. And it's wonderful.
Good. Great job, Conan. Give that a shot. I love Conan. Conan's always been one of my guys, and there is nothing. If you want a good book to read, you want to see just how, like, in the weeds that whole Conan versus NBC marriage broke down in the late 2000s. The war for late night.
It's on my Audible.
It is a fantastic
wish
read.
List.
Fantastic and read.
I may do that. True Detective, Mike. There are 5 episodes, and now something finally happened.
Oh no, that's not good. It took this long?
It took a while. So it's a slow, slow burn. Again, I told you last time I was in for it. Like, I like shows like this sometimes. And in the same way, like, Sharp Objects takes its time, this very much takes its time. There's some big drama. There's a big action sequence. It's really cool. It's really crazy. It's, you know, it's a red herring fest. There's some bad makeup, I will say. Surrounding the Stephen Dorff character.
Oh, no.
Old man Dorff has some rough hairstyling and makeup, I will say. But I did enjoy some of the dramatic scenes, even though I was, you know, just staring at the makeup and getting angry and bad wigs. But, Michael, it's a fun show. I do recommend it, but you just got to know what you're in for. It's a slow show.
Got to get into that. Got to get into Crashing. Got to get into all the HBO stuff. I'll talk about what I've been watching in lieu of that in a minute, but keep going.
A show that I just kind of discovered on Showtime was actually on television, and I was searching the channels, which I never do.
You watched live TV for a change.
I make fun of you constantly.
Yeah, you
about,
do.
I just flipped this on. I caught the last end of this movie. Don't you know what On Demand is? And here I am. Watching Black Monday, this is Don Cheadle, this is Regina Hall, they're both unbelievable in this. This is essentially Wolf of Wall Street, the TV show, and it is hilarious. It is going 1,000 miles per hour. It is evil. It is the fruits of the devil, but it is funny as shit.
It was a simpler time.
There's a bad time. It's the reason why all our future bad times, 1980s success going on. But it is crazy, a ludicrous show. And the first two episodes are great. You have some epic 80s music. So if you had 80s parties when you were in college, this might be the perfect show for you so far. I mean, I'm in. The first two episodes were just awesome.
Fair enough.
Private War, I mentioned on my best our best actress category. It is our show, isn't it? Not my show. They just Freudian slip some once in a while.
I just black out during these times.
A Private War, Michael. Rosamund Pike is a top 10 actress of the year. It is like the most dramatic movie of the season. It is just so heavy to watch, but they did a really good job. It ends up in Syria. If you know the true story, it is rough, but one hell of a movie there.
I can't watch her on screen.
I gave it a B+.
I can't do it.
After Gone Girl,
yeah,
Mike
Gone
can't
Girl
watch it.
Just ruined me for her.
I did watch The Grinch. It's not all that funny. Visually, it's worth watching. It's like Dr. Seuss blown to 11.
Yeah, if anything had a snub or a gripe with being snubbed for the animated feature category, it probably was The Grinch.
Right. And finally, for all you Netflix junkies, I did watch Velvet Buzzsaw. I am not a fan.
Oh, really? I haven't seen a single review about that. I know they're out there. I just have not heard, seen, read.
We watch our share of horror movies. And Dan Gilroy, who's made Nightcrawler, who's made a lot of good dramas. The Gilroy brothers are responsible for a lot of awesome dramas. Dan Gilroy is not a horror movie director, and he really does not try to be, and yet it's just like moving from one scene to the next, and then something gross happens, or there's a horror scene, but there's no really pizzazz in terms of the filmmaking and the style of it, and I was very disappointed.
No, that is a letdown.
And how it was not built properly as a horror film and built for suspense, and they really did not do a good job with it. And I was very unfortunate, because I think he had the makings of a good movie there. It is utterly preposterous.
Sure.
It doesn't work as a B movie. It doesn't work as a drama. It doesn't work as a horror movie.
That's sad.
I poop on it.
All right. Well, sorry. I've come close to hitting play on that a couple times, but I never have because in lieu of doing that, I was on babysitting duty not too long ago.
Movie to watch while babysitting.
Yeah, I didn't do that. Children. I didn't do that. We did watch The Incredibles 2 again.
Good.
Which is, it's going to win. It's just, it's enough, it does enough on its own
it's
to win
fun, right?
to win the animated feature category.
Just on Netflix.
Yeah.
Listen to our OSP.
You put on the Disney conspiracy theory that we did with our animated feature category review. It's going to win. It's just going to. I'm sorry, all you Spider-Verse fans. And I also got to take in Hotel Transylvania 3, which
oh, no.
I was a big fan of.
You really were?
Hey, it's fine.
Just one of
whatever.
These Adam Sandler goofy jokes.
Yes, that's all it is. Yeah, it's him. It's Grown Ups 3, but cartoons.
What's his batting average for jokes?
Oh, my God, like 250? It's not great.
But the one of four makes you laugh out loud or makes you snicker?
It's stupid comedy. Yeah. He does this voice all the whole
the
movie.
The whole movie?
Yeah, it's fine. It's whatever.
Well, at least
he
found a vehicle for that persona.
Catherine Hahn has a voiceover part. She plays a big role. David Spade's there. It's fine. I thought it was entertaining. That's on Netflix, too. But what I've been doing, I want to watch movies. That's all I want to do. But all I've done is at the end of a day of working on the pod and the website and the brand and stuff we got is I will just turn on Netflix. And I've become such a stereotype. I will just watch The Office. And I watched The Office. Oh. I binged it from starting at season 4 and I binged it all the way through. And I just got finished with season 9 for like the third time I've done this. And then instead of like moving on, I just started The Office again at season 3.
Oh my God.
I'm just living in this loop. I'm living in this flat circle, like McConaughey say, where all I do is just watch Michael Scott and Friends. And Michael Scott's there 1 minute and then he leaves at the end of it.
Who do you empathize with the most? Who do you think you are?
Creed. I love Creed. Creed and Stanley. Yes, absolutely.
Very good.
Yeah. But that's it. I should watch.
Well, that'll do it.
I should
watching
do more
six
things.
Seasons of The Office.
I should do more things than what I've been doing. I just think I'm fighting off a sickness and I'm just grouchy. Just want to be left alone and watch old NBC sitcoms.
Old NBC sitcoms. On Netflix, you are their demographic. They win.
Yes, they absolutely do. Let's talk about some audience interaction stuff that we did this week where we did have to talk with other people and my spirits were lifted because I interacted with some friendly
other
people with some
beings.
Great ideas.
On the internet.
Yes, I don't like leaving my house. We had an interesting one this week for 6 Degrees of MMO. We were connecting two times supporting actress winner Shelley Winters. We were connecting her to future hopeful, probable two-time supporting actor winner Mahershala Ali. We had a couple of great suggestions and then the winner, this is a well-deserved win this week, right, Mike?
I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Anyway, we'll go through a couple honorable mentions. Movie Geek and Proud at MGNP Podcast. They said Shelley Winters in the Roseanne TV series with Laurie Metcalf.
I thought that was going to be you so much more.
And it really wasn't. You queued it up.
Yeah.
Laurie Metcalf in Toy Story 4 with Joan Cusack. Joan Cusack in Shameless. What a character she plays in Shameless with Emmy Rossum. Emmy Rossum is in Poseidon with Josh Lucas. Oh, terrible movie. Josh Lucas in a Beautiful Mind with Jennifer Connelly. Jennifer Connelly is apparently in Alita Battle Angel.
Yeah.
It's about geometry.
Alita Battle Acute Angle.
And she's with Mahershala Ali in Alita.
Really interested to see how that Alita one plays out and see that movie for myself. Robert Rodriguez at the helm of it. I could be. But if it makes do, the release date kind of scares me. Something that special should be coming out in the summer, no?
Yeah, the effects look pretty awesome.
They do. Yasna is here at YCAVIERES. Shelley Winters was in The Delta Force with Chuck Norris.
Oh, my God.
Who was in Dodgeball with Vince Vaughn. Great connections.
Fucking Chuck Norris.
Really speaking to us. Who Vince Vaughn was in Four Christmases with Reese Witherspoon.
Oh, no.
Who was in This Means War, which I've seen.
Me too. Oh no.
Chris Pine, obviously, in Into the Spider-Verse, the future animated feature loser with Mahershala Ali.
But one wasn't enough for Yasna at Yasna. Shelley Winters was in Mrs. Monk, MUNCK, with Diane Ladd, who was in Joy with Bradley Cooper, who was in The Place Beyond the Pines with Mahershala Ali.
So, and then Yasna came over the top with a third.
Oh my God.
We thank them for all their efforts, and we're glad they had fun with this. Shelley Winters was in An Unremarkable Life with Michael O'Neill, who was in Dallas Buyers Club with Matthew McConaughey, who was in Free State of Jones with Mahershala Ali. I've never seen Free State of Jones. Have you?
No, I have not. It got bad reviews,
yeah.
And we were getting into our Oscar form, and I did not.
Fair enough. Alec Caneros at AlecTron3000. That's Alec with a C. Shelley Winters appeared in Roseanne, which stars John Goodman, who starred in Argo with Scoot McNairy, who stars in True Detective with Ali. We thought that would be short enough to win this, right?
We thought so, but at T_D_81TD said Shelley Winters was in Portrait of a Lady with Viggo Mortensen and Green Book with Mahershala.
We kill ourselves. Every week, we kill ourselves.
And last time you were like, let's do this person
to
that
person. People. Yeah.
Let's do this person to that third person. I'm like, no way. And it was almost getting into a big heated argument, which I thank you for backing away from because you're a nice guy. I was like, no way. It's going to be too easy, Mike. We got to go old to new. We got to give them something hard. We keep trying to stump them and they keep screwing with us and just flaunting their own intellectual prowess. We have to give them something hard. And of course, TD goes one to the other.
Two links. Yeah.
That's it.
Bing, bang, boom.
I can't believe it.
Hats off. Well-deserved win. T_D_81TD. Congratulations to you. You get all kinds of praise and, of course, bragging rights for this round of 6 degrees of MMO.
You got the belt.
Yes, you are the current champion. We're not WWE, though, so we don't have the budget to send one out. But just, like, cut one out of, like, a post-it note, and you can wear that. Maybe you'll defend it this week when we have another 6 degrees of MMO challenge coming down the pipeline for you. Mike, what do we have this week?
We have Bruce Willis, yes. Because he just won the box office for Glass.
That's the next segment.
Lady Gaga
is
going to win stuff at the BAFTAs and everywhere else the rest of award season.
So probably, yeah.
Bruce Willis to Lady Gaga. This is by request, essentially, to do two current people.
Yeah, and I really don't think he was in the Poker Face music video, but if he was, you could do this in one.
You might be able to do this in one, but listen, this is about creativity. This is about getting weird with it. This is about making us laugh. This is about making other people laugh on Twitter. This is about whatever you think want it to be about.
Yeah.
Just, you know, make it entertaining, have fun with it, get weird.
Get weird is the underlying message. Make us laugh is really the highlight here. If you can just tap into, like, John Goodman was in Roseanne and then tangentially relate him to someone else, barely that it makes any sense, mm-hmm. We love it. Do it. So it doesn't have to be just movies. Could be TV shows, music videos. If you could find, listen, if you find a music video way, because I know Bruce Willis was in at least one music video that comes to mind.
Bruce Willis is the father of Rumor Willis.
Oh, you know, there you go.
You can get very strange with this.
Bruce he was Willis replaced was in roasted. His relationship by Ashton Kutcher.
Yep.
There's a lot of links here. A lot of possibilities. So, yeah, get thinking. Have fun with it. Bruce Willis, Lady Gaga. That'll be next week on MMO Weekly. We'll discuss the winners again, and likely that'll be on Monday, hopefully, if all goes according to plan, which it never seems to anymore. But that is the plan. So look out for that this coming Monday for the next episode of MMO Weekly.
It'll be a BAFTA Monday there.
All right, let's go right into talking about box office updates. Mike, what do we have on the week here?
Glass wins an awful Super Bowl weekend. Nobody went to the movies. It won with, like, you know, under $10 million.
Yeesh.
9.5, Mike, and the upside was second with 8.6. Miss Bala in third, 6.8. Not a great weekend. 88 domestically now for Glass, 198 worldwide off a $20 million budget. It is making good money. Shyamalan is back with a vengeance after these last few films. He went through a lull. It got crapped on, though, this movie. In
very
many
polarizing
ways,
reviews,
I wonder,
yeah.
Yeah, I wonder if the twist was just, like, so disappointing. And he's done that before, in my mind. He's had some disappointing twists that just made me just like, oh, give me a break.
Yeah! Not just your mind, yes.
So I wonder if that's the case here, if he actually had a pretty decent movie and then just disappointed us at the end.
Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it.
I haven't either.
Probably
yeah,
not
going to
see it.
We talked about this, how we're probably going to wait till it comes out on theaters. Miss Bala, I mean, third place on a week where nothing new came out is a little disappointing, but on a $15 million budget, making $7 million,
that might do
that's
okay.
Not bad.
It was an action movie spectacular. I don't know if people were ready for that, but we'll see. There's a lot
look,
of action
this is a,
movies
it's a
here.
Weird weekend. Yeah. The Super Bowl weekend's always rough. January going into February is always rough. It's kind of a down time for theaters historically.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you don't break the chain of what's happening over and over again.
Aquaman did get over $1.1 billion. Spider-Verse now up at $347 million worldwide. Green Book is doing well, $81 million worldwide on a $23 million budget, you pick. you know, that was our top six this week.
The order from KFC in that movie was probably $23 alone.
Not a lot different than the top six last week, you know, sans Miss Bala there. So
now, Free Solo is the only thing that sticks out to me. It's the only positive in the first 25 or so
movies. Came back
to
IMAX. Yeah.
Yeah, they went back into IMAX, 300-plus theaters there, had a $1.25 million follow-up. Like we said, 2018's been a, like, the comeback year for the documentaries right. in total, and Free Solo is no stranger to that.
If we weren't so disgusted with the Academy's picks
we're done
in that category,
we're done.
We might have done documentary, but no, we're not going to do it.
Academy, we'll see. We'll talk about your documentary picks in 2021. All right, you got to prove it to us.
Prove it to us. All right, do we care about stuff?
Yeah, let's talk about. Let's have me sing on tape for once. This is the Do You Care segment. This is where we take little news stories about Hollywood that happened this past week, and we ask ourselves, do we, should we, or will we care about them? Michael, what's first?
We have a new Batman, potentially. Ben Affleck is out. Matt Reeves, the director, Cloverfield, right? He did the vampire movie with Chloe Grace Moretz. Anyway, he
great
is...
Great movie. Let me in, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to choose the next Batman, and it was just floated out there that they're looking at Robert Pattinson. Michael, do you care?
I do. I had this. Elite Daily was the first one place that I saw it. He's out, apparently being, quote, eyed for the part, whatever that means in all its glory. I'm a little surprised that he would go the superhero route because he seems to be very close to Oscar nominations.
Working with one great new director after another and doing a lot of art films, doing a lot of movies that have been fringe Oscar buzzworthy for the last few years. Really, in my mind, he's doing one good movie after the next, Mike.
He's got High Life by Claire Denis that came out, I think, in Sundance. It hasn't gone wide yet.
I think it's April or March.
It's gotten... polarizing differently, different reviews, yes and no. High Metascore right now, though, of an 81. I thought he would, like, go to Academy Prestige before going into, like, this superhero picture or the big budget action picture, but what I like Robert Pattinson. I think, you know, the Twilight era stuff is gone for him and Kristen Stewart. Like, that's what you do when you're getting into the industry. You take the chain, you know, it's like working at an Applebee's.
Right.
You take the money. So I think that shouldn't be held against him at this point. And he's suave enough to pull off a believable Bruce Wayne for me.
I've loved him in the last few films he's done. Damsel in Good Time, for sure. I did the Cronenberg movie that I really liked. I liked his performance in. I don't know if I love the movie. Anyway, we have Robert Pattinson floated out there on purpose, is my guess.
I would assume so as well, yes.
They're just kind of weighing what everybody says, because it is a popularity thing. You need him to be accepted. Like, if you just announced him and then he got blowback.
You need whoever takes that role to be beloved.
Right.
You need to, you can't, Ben Affleck was polarizing enough, and then to have him for basically 1.5 movies and then have him walk away.
Right.
That's, and then you lose Superman on top. Like, you got to hit this one right on the head.
So they're floating it out there. Mixed results with people, or for the most part, what we've seen is people liking it.
It's, yeah, I mean, there's the detractors out there, as I think anytime you cast anyone from Twilight, there will be. But I've seen it pretty positive for the most part. There's some fan art popping up about what he would look like with the suit on, and other websites having fun with it. Give it a shot. Look, he'd be the second best acting thespian to play Bruce Wayne ever, probably.
Christian Bale?
Depending on how you feel about Michael Keaton.
Yeah, Michael Keaton's done well. I like it. I think it could work. I think he's a legit actor at this stage of his career. So I'm curious. I mean, it makes me, like, him going against Joaquin Phoenix, that's pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. Sign me up for that. I don't know who would be darker.
Him going against Margot Robbie, you got some serious thespians going on.
They'd have to fall in love, because we as Americans deserve to see those two beautiful people.
Just combust.
Yeah. I think we owe that to ourselves.
We have the super-duper hero in Wonder Woman, though, but where is Pattinson going to fit in terms of this universe? This is going to be like the Dark Universe.
Still have it be Wonder Woman's universe with him just being Batman. I think that's fine.
I wonder if they take the Justice League, Wonder Woman side of things. That's your super duper heroes. That's Aquaman. That's
those are the gods,
the Flash,
and then they have the more realistic, gritty stuff. Yeah, that'd work for me too.
Could be. could be.
And him against, you know, whether it's Joaquin's Joker or they bring back Jared Leto and have him keep the Joaquin Joker separate. Yeah, there's all kinds of possibilities that opens up. Batman's always a big deal, though, right? Batman, James Bond, these are like the hallmark movie roles that could make or break a generation of filmgoers and movie makers.
Sure.
So
let's get it right. Yeah. Matt Reeves is a good filmmaker, so we'll
absolutely
see.
Mike, do you care about some of the upcoming stuff that's going to be released this week? Why do we have Cold Pursuit? Because we don't have enough movies inferring the temperature with Arctic, and what was the other one that Mads Mikkelsen's doing?
Polar.
Polar, Arctic, Ice Water, I think, is coming out. That's a French film. I made that up. Lego Movie 2, The Prodigy, What Men Want, because if anything needed a sequel. Everybody Knows opens a specialty screening. Peppa Celebrates Chinese New Year specialty screening. Do you care about any of these?
I care about Lego Movie 2, I think. The Lego Movie 2 subtitle, the second part.
Love that.
It's pretty good. Early 93% on the tomato meter.
Getting great reviews.
Beloved. So, yeah, the Lego Batman movie was fun. The Lego movie, obviously, was great. Cold Pursuit, though, Mike. I guess Liam Neeson's got his own problems.
He's had a rough couple of days, saying some pretty horrid shit out there. And, yeah, if you have not been watching the news, we won't fill you in now because we don't want to divulge all the time to it. But he's... just
idiot.
Don't say things.
Why?
It's so stupid. Yeah,
it
but
just reveals that who we are.
Yep,
sometimes
absolutely disgusting. You could go ridiculous. Read those headlines anywhere. They're all over the internet right now. But yes, I can't imagine that movie will do well now. I'd actually be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised if they pulled it altogether.
Wow. Oscar Farhadi's Everybody Knows. We previewed the trailer. This is the Javier Bardem, Penelope Cruz, Oscar adjacent film that got pushed. This guy won 2 Best Foreign Film Features at the Oscars. This director, Bardem and Penelope Cruz, they play a formerly married couple in this movie. And it's
this
just
is the one with the wedding?
The wedding.
Yeah.
And it's crazy. I have no idea. It's like a 50%er. I'm kind of curious
the
about
troll,
it.
The title is a troll job because nobody knows what's
nobody
going on.
Nobody knows. But everybody knows in the film. I don't know. I'm kind of curious. If everybody's so disappointed by it, I'm kind of curious about that too. But usually like the 50%er for movie critics like us that get the things late, like we watch it with the people, usually those make me very curious, make me wish I had a beard so that I can stroke
it. I had no idea where you were going with that sentence. I'll be honest. I didn't know where you were ending it, but okay, it makes you curious.
It makes me curious. I wish I had a beard to just like, you know, with the tips of my fingers, stroke it a little bit, and I don't know.
Anything about The Prodigy, which obviously is a documentary about the 1990s hardcore band, Prodigy?
I have no idea what The Prodigy is. I have no idea.
It's a horror movie about a child that's, like, possessed.
Okay, no
something
thanks.
Something like that,
yeah. No thanks. What Men Want. I saw the Taraji P. Henson trailer. The trailer looks bad.
I like Taraji P. Henson a lot. I like the people in this movie. There's a lot of them that really...
The trailer
this looks
ridiculous.
Looks bad.
And she keeps picking some bad scripts. Like, what are we doing, Taraji?
Yeah.
What are we doing?
I hope it makes money. I've been wrong about movies like this in the past. I can't imagine.
If it's good, I hope it makes money. Yeah. If it's shit, I hope it makes no money so we stop making these movies.
Fair enough. What else we got, Mike?
We have a Netflix film, Michael. High Flying Bird drops on February 8th. It is the latest iPhone shot movie from Steven Soderbergh. Here is the premise. In the midst of a pro basketball lockout, sports agent Ray Burke, Andre Rolland, finds himself caught in a face-off between the league and the players. It goes on and on, but you got Steven Soderbergh, you got Terrell Alvin McCraney from Moonlight, Zazie Beetz from Everything We Like, Zachary Quinto.
Zazie Beetz is awesome. Zachary Quinto's awesome.
Kyle MacLachlan. We got.
So you can't have this movie without Larry Bird making a cameo, right? You can't have a basketball lockout movie, call it High Flying Bird, and not have Larry Bird in there.
I don't know. We have Reggie Jackson, Carl Anthony Towns, Donovan Mitchell with cameos.
Carl Anthony Towns is in What Men Want as well. He's
is
getting
he really?
Around, yeah.
From Minnesota, of all places. Michael, early 100%, 8 reviews, 8.3 out of 10 critic score. You already said you care how much.
I do care. I like any kind of front office sports movies. I think we're in this Draft Day by Kevin Costner. I'll watch that thing every day for the rest of my
Isn't
life.
Isn't it interesting how ridiculous that movie is?
Love
but
it.
We kind
of
like
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
I put it on
it.
To go to sleep
of
the
course.
Other day, and I watched a lot of it.
It's what I dream about. Yeah, I love it. Yeah. So I'll watch this, absolutely.
Trade up to the number one pick. All the way up there to take a guy that should have been picked at 13, then trade all the way back into the first.
You want to talk about the most horrible, unrealistic endings to any movie ever? it would be a team doing what Kevin Costner does with the Browns at the end
he
of that movie.
Been fired mid-draft.
Immediately.
Just no, without question. You would not have been given a chance to make that next pick.
All this is to say, yes, I will watch this movie, High Flying Bird, by Steven Soderbergh. I didn't even know Soderbergh. Does Soderbergh have a history of sports movies? This seems very anti-Steven Soderbergh. Traffic, Sex, Lies, and Videotape, Behind the Candelabra. Yeah, so the guy that did Behind the Candelabra and Aaron Brockovich is taking a stance on the NBA lockout.
He's going for it. So he's whatever he does has been very, very good.
Yeah, he's awesome.
His whole
he really
career,
is.
For the most part. I mean, he's had a few that have been a little too artsy, extra fartsy, but... we like them.
Let's round third and head for home.
The Oscar goes to...
and the winner is...
and the Oscar goes
to...
the
winner is...
the Oscar goes to... MMOWs. Oscar Race Update.
Oscar Race Update. We only got a couple more weeks to do this before we got to talk about the real thing, huh?
The real thing is coming soon. Michael, officially, there's no Oscars host.
Yeah,
what the hell? Didn't we think someone was going to swoop in at the 11th hour and save the day?
It would have been nice, and there's no shortage of options. You can't say you're surprised that they've officially going with no host. I think it's a mistake. I think we both think it's a mistake.
I think it's a mistake. I think it's a definite mistake. I think you want to go into this thing feeling good about it, no? And just that touchstone of a host, somebody could bring everybody together. They're not even trying.
I also wonder how playing the trailer at the Super Bowl of Endgame affects their plans that were leaked out a couple weeks ago, where they were going to try to like cover not having a host by just combining all these powerful, super famous people on stage and like try to get the Avengers together to present an award. And last check, I read something the other day that said like the last year's winners of Gary Oldman, Frances McDormand,
right?
None of them have been contacted to present this year's awards
it's
yet.
It's so weird, Mike.
Yeah, it's a weird thing.
Is it just
going to
be the Disney commercial era where they just go for the Avengers, then the Mary Poppins?
Like they have the woman that plays Cinderella in Disney World come out and present?
Wreck-It Ralph comes on. Brendan Lee Mulligan should just go up there and just crash it.
That would be awesome with our shirts.
He has to have some kind of self projecting microphone.
We could beat him wireless. Up in the early 90s Monday Night War era, and we'll spray paint, well, like the New World Order used to spray paint NWO on his back, we'll spray paint MMO and then get arrested.
Brennan said he'd do it. Yeah. He said he'd do it.
There's Brennan aside, obviously, but there's a billion people worthy of hosting this, and it's pretty unforgivable they didn't decide on one.
It's bad, and it's awkward, and it's, I don't know, I guess like if you want to watch a car crash, you know, if you got
I'm hopeful it's not, but
I hope not.
There's a lot of elements here that suggest it might be, with the regression, with the kind of people that qualified for, the movies that qualified for certain awards and others that didn't. This could be a time bomb.
I'm worried.
Yeah. Talk about the DGA awards that happened, Mike.
Feature film winner in a category of Cooper, Cuarón, Farrelly, Lee, and McKay. Michael, the winner, of course, is Alfonso Cuarón from Roma.
All this could have done was created a little bit of drama, but the DGA is so in step. We've reviewed it 100 times about what goes on to win the Oscar.
Right.
We all thought it was Cuarón's category. It's definitely Cuarón's category. He's winning this award.
Documentary, we had Neville Ross from Hale County, Chin from Free Solo, Wardle from Three Identical Strangers, Weston Cohen from RBG, and friend of the show, Tim Wardle from Three Identical Strangers is the winner.
That really...
he tweeted us once.
You could say it's surprising based on how we love Won't You Be My Neighbor, but Three Identical Strangers, we've also said, felt the most cinematic.
True.
And the most like an actual drama playing out in front
of
you.
He's a trickster in that movie. I loved it. I loved the way he directed it. He had all kinds of different mediums, kind of.
Sure.
You know, the reenactment. You had the interview, obviously. You got the, you know, just the montage of all the historical evidence. And then you got the investigation, which is fascinating. So all those different chains. This makes some good sense that he won for Best Director here.
I'm really
happy for him. I'm really upset at the snub. Not only, I mean, it overshadowed the snub of Three Identical Strangers when Won't You Be My Neighbor got snubbed.
It's inexcusable. The whole documentary category. I mean, if you want to make it just about RBG and have her in the audience and you want to have this be this big liberal celebration, you could do that while still rightfully nominating the films that should be nominated in the first place.
Forgive me, I don't remember if this is our friends at Next Best Picture or the Big Picture podcast on The Ringer. Somebody said along the line that the Academy is notorious for not choosing enough biodocs. If they don't like biodocs. So this year they picked RBG and they did not want to pick another one. So that's why Won't You Be My Neighbor was kind of boxed out there. I don't know if that's true or not. I know kind of...
Nothing like a voting body playing by rules that aren't written down anywhere, huh?
Yeah. What are we doing? If the five best movies are in the same genre, just pick it, you idiots.
That's why the Oscars puzzle is a real thing.
I just want to vomit. I just want to yell and vomit. Anyway, I love Tim Wardle. We love that movie.
Yes, yes. Great movie. I think this is the right call, too. Yeah. This one coming up.
First time feature. We had Bo Burnham, Bradley Cooper. We had Estrada from Blindspotting, Heinemann from A Private War, and, of course, Riley from Sorry to Bother You. The winner was Bo Burnham from Eighth Grade.
It's the right call. I had battles with people on Twitter the night this award was announced. Bradley Cooper's brilliance, the best thing he did in that movie was on camera. And he directed himself, sure, but his character was the best part of Bradley Cooper's involvement.
Now, I don't know if people took issue with the script or took issue with... But there's definitely holes in that movie. There's issues with that movie, correct?
In the second hour specifically,
that have transcended the whole season, that have taken something that was so wonderful for much of that movie. Yeah. Like the highs of A Star Is Born might be the highest of the year.
The two biggest surprises to me, and not to get off track about the directing, the two biggest surprises to me that were illuminated by Cooper not winning here is, one, he's never been recognized for his acting prowess in this movie, which kind of stuns me, at least not the major precursors, and two, it seems to be an indicator of how not serious A Star Is Born really ever was to most of the Academy. Because they just didn't win much.
Everything's a reaction to everything else these days.
True, too.
You know, if it had its moment, you know, so much earlier in award season where it was the favorite, and now it's just basically everybody's like, well, not really. I didn't love the movie as much as it wanted. The movie disappointed me, and, you know, everybody was all over it. Like, the critics were loving it there for a while.
Yeah.
It just peaked at the wrong time.
Could be. Maybe it came out too early, which is also disappointing, because now we're going to have to wait until November and December every year to get any Oscar-type movie.
Well, they definitely flubbed all of the posturing with the Golden Globes, especially.
Sure. Oh, yeah.
You know, if that movie comes out, like you said, with awards from the best comedy or musical categories, how much more, you know, positive is the buzz going into the next award show than the next one?
I talked about that, and I think it was our best original song category review. Maybe it was best actress, but I'll talk about it again when actor and picture come up. I really think A Star Is Born labeling itself a drama at the Golden Globes, that was the minute it killed its awards chances. But let's talk about Bo Burnham, though, the guy that did win the award, and both of us, we haven't revealed to each other our rankings yet, but I think it's safe to say we're both going to have Eighth Grade the top 10 films of the year.
He did some next level things. The question that I have, that's a smaller film. It is his directorial prowess top five on the year for us at the end of the day, because I got some heavy hitters in that category. I don't necessarily know. I'm close, but he does some big things in that movie. I really would have liked to seen Ari Aster in here for first time feature.
Yep.
To be honest with you, but this is worthy. I mean, all five of these guys are awesome, and I love Bo Burnham's work in Eighth Grade. Like I said, it's next level.
I just can't. He did. He was able to encapsulate that charming, visceral, paralyzing awkwardness that time period has, that we all experience and can't really, isn't tangible and isn't really explainable, but we all know it. And he put it on film for all of us to see through Elsie Fisher. I think that's just something that every coming of age studio wants to do, and so few ever do.
The suspense, you know, style of that pool party.
Oh my God.
The just pressure cooker, the crucible of the classroom scenes with this girl. Like, we are feeling so much anxiety throughout that movie. And then you have all of the tricks of the...
I thought you didn't like bananas. No, I had it written down. You don't like bananas.
Oh my God. That scene. You're just back and forth. Ugh. And then, of course, you know, all the third act. I mean, that movie is very well directed. And he's tricky with it. And he's using a lot of style with the substance of the screenplay. We think he got snubbed somewhere.
I think movies should make you feel, right? And that movie made me feel a lot more than a lot of others that get higher praise this
year. That's a great point. Our friends at Feeling Film would agree with you,
I'm sure. Yeah.
Shout outs to a lot of people today trying. Annie Awards, Mike. These are for the animated films of the year. Best animated feature. The winner was Spider-Verse.
That's fine.
Incredibles 2. Best Animated Feature Independent. The winner was Mirai over Ruben Brandt Collector and a couple of others that we haven't heard of until now. Yep. We're sorry. Basically, it affirms the Oscar noms here in a way. these winners?
I can't say any more about the animated feature category than I did in our animated feature category review. I'm telling you, people, bet on Incredibles 2, all right? Mike will refund your money if Spider-Verse wins.
Spider-Verse won 7 out of 7. Yeah. It was nominated for 7 awards, including the biggest one. It won all 7 of them.
Look,
they loved it.
It's going to be an upset. It definitely will.
Oh, my God. Incredibles 2 took home 2 awards. Isle of Dogs took 1 home for Bryan Cranston. You know, so they got awarded at the end of the night. But, I mean, Spider-Verse comes away a heavy favorite if this award show means anything. We didn't do any crossover stats with the Oscars. Maybe we'll have to do that. MMO Season 3.
Go check out our category review of animated feature. I put on my tinfoil hat. It was fun.
We do year-long seasons, by the way. Yes, the tinfoil hat. You are
it's
crazy.
Not a season
person.
If it's every. That's what WWE tries to do that shit. It's like, welcome to our season premiere. You're on every week.
7 days a week. You have your own network, MMO, 4 episodes a week. We're crazy. Ace Eddie Awards, Michael. This is for film editing. We had the drama category won by Bohemian Rhapsody's John Ottman. Isn't that scary?
This thing's going to win Best Picture, isn't it?
Oh, God. We didn't do any crossover stats, so we're schlubbing this. But bottom line, this typically crossovers with Best Picture. This scares us, doesn't it? That being said, the best comedy editing went to The Favourites. Other Yorgos, Mavropsarides.
There you go. Good job with that pronunciation.
I'm sorry, Other Yorgos. I call you Other Yorgos, but that's with love. Animated feature, Spider-Verse, Robert Fisher Jr., and documentary, Free Solo's Bob Eisenhart. Some movies we liked in that group.
Yeah, I think it pretty much all goes according to plan, or at least according to expectations, except for Bohemian Rhapsody, which is a bad, bad omen for us and others who did not enjoy that
movie.
I think people are just getting lost, and like you've said all along, I think they're getting lost in the music one, maybe Malick's performance.
We did praise it for best editing.
It's entertaining, yeah. The third act videos are fascinating. Yeah. I agree, but
there's music videos within that movie that are pretty
good. Oh boy.
And everybody says it got saved in the editing. I know now I forget if it's Next Best Picture or the Big Picture again. I'm sorry, guys. We love both your shows. I listen to both of them. I just can't cite you properly. You're awesome at podcasting. I forget who said what, but I listened to both of those shows, and somebody said it was saved in the editing. I believe you, and Bohemian Rhapsody
saved
is getting
it all the way to a 64-minute score.
Yeah, it's getting credit for the $800 million it made, and those editors are who saved the thing after a ridiculous production where the director got fired. Rami Malek's having problems with the director for the other half of it. The director is doing horrible things or whatever he's doing, and then boom, you know, the editors pull it together, and $800 million later, we got one of the biggest hits of the year.
It's going to be something if that thing pulls off the upset. It's not even going to be an upset at this point.
Yeah. Art Directors Guild, Mike, production design is the category here. The winners. Period film went to The Favourites' Fiona Crombie.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Fantasy film went to Black Panther's Hannah Beechler.
Also makes sense. Those are probably the two that this category production design is going to be between at the Academy. So
contemporary film went to Crazy Rich Asians Nelson Coates.
I'm surprised this hasn't gotten more love throughout the season.
How many phone calls has Nelson Coates got Plan My Wedding?
Right.
Plan My Wedding. Nelson, how many billionaires have been calling Nelson Coates?
No, for real.
In recent weeks.
I'm shocked that hasn't gotten more love.
And then animated film went to Adam Stockhausen and Paul Herod from Isle of Dogs.
I mean, considering the other set designs for the animated films were all hand-drawn, and this was the only one that was real, that probably makes sense.
So it makes sense. It fits. I mean, we don't have any real issues. Like, even Bohemian Rhapsody, I get. Like, if we're just awarding...
It's like one of those things where,
best
like...
Editing.
Yeah, no, I get it as long as it doesn't win Best Picture. If this helps it win Best Picture, it's wrong.
Best soundtrack in a movie. Right. Bohemian Rhapsody should get that. Best editing, I kind of give it credit there. It's true.
Right. Well, there you go. Another week, another more set of precursors, and we're going headlong into the BAFTAs, which is going to take place this Sunday, the 10th. We will obviously have an MMO Weekly afterwards, recapping all that, and then it's 2 weeks of gesting. It's like going into the Super Bowl. We got 2 weeks to mill this around, kick it around, get out some predictions.
All right, so final BAFTA preview question here, Mike.
Yeah.
Who needs it more? Bradley Cooper needs a win, or Spike Lee and Black Klansman needs a win somewhere?
I'm going to say The Favorite. If The Favorite can't win the BAFTAs for best film, how's it ever going to be taken seriously as
Great
best picture
question by me, as always. No, it's a favorite. Yeah, it's a favorite.
Excuse me while I pat my own back.
No, I gave you two choices. You picked another one. But all right, so basically those are the three films that really need something, right? That they haven't had their moment
Black
yet,
Klansman's
right?
probably done, right? Even if it wins.
And again, the Hollywood Reporter's got an article on there today saying Black Klansman's got a ton of momentum. It's the Academy, it's no longer Spike Lee versus the Oscars anymore because it's surging. And this is by Stephen Galloway on the Hollywood Reporter.
All right. Well, then, hey, maybe that's where it lands, and maybe that can do enough. When's the last time Best Picture was just such a roll of the dice, such a craps throw?
It's wide open. Yeah. I just wonder if someone's going to get a last-minute moment, and the Oscar voting, the final Oscar winner voting, is going to open up after 2 days
and
later.
And Bohemian Rhapsody sweeps the BAFTAs. Oh,
it can only win Best British
yeah,
Film.
Right, right.
So that's the only silver lining.
Unless it wins on a ride-in. God. Oh, God. Yeah, let us know who you're rooting for the BAFTAs, and let us know your 6 degree submissions. We're going Bruce Willis, the Lady Gaga, that old twosome that everyone's familiar with and sees all the time together out in public, same hairstyling and all. We want to hear your submissions. You can get at us on our social media, Mike and Oscar on Facebook, Mike and Oscar on Instagram, MM and Oscar on Twitter, MikeMikeAndOscar.com @gmail.com, and on Reddit. We are available everywhere you hear podcasts, TuneIn, Stitcher, SoundCloud, iTunes, etc., etc. Michael, MMO Weekly through half your week already on Hump Day.
Anyway, we just had a break where Mike was trying to feed me lines about words of wisdom because I never write it down. I don't know why I don't write it down. We do it every episode. It always floors me, and I have to come up with something on the spot. Wisdom of all things on the spot. Stalled enough.
Yeah.
Michael, everything disappointed us this week. So the BAFTAs, you have a lot to live up to. You're going to say something about Robert Pattinson, you have a lot to live up to.
Yeah, I would like to see him play Bruce Wayne as Edward Cullen from Twilight. I think that'd sell tickets. Put some asses in the seats, as the kids say.
I hope not. He was just a wet carrot in that. That was before he learned how to act.
Yeah, yeah.
Just do a parody of his old self.
Yeah.
That's his.
Have it come full circle, man.
That's his alter ego, Mike. It's just the old version
just
of
the moody 16-year-old that never grows up.
Blockbuster self. Oh my God.
Yeah. All right, guys. Reality sucks. Keep watching movies with us. We'll check you out next time. Have a good end of your week. See ya.